Day, but when you leave this place, continue to pray. Take your bulletin with you so you will know the names of those who need you. We ought to all intercede on behalf of others. It ought not always be about you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There is a word from the Lord. We've been waiting with great anticipation to share this with you. We pray in advance that God would minister to you where you are based on His word. Amen. I want to direct your attention to a portion of the scripture that was read in the responsive reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. When you find that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. And this is from the King James Version. Know ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I will show you a more excellent way.
Amen.
Amen. I would encourage you to go into that 13th chapter because it'll give you a more excellent way.
Amen.
But for the day, I want to talk about using God's GPS for church traffic. Using God's GPS for church traffic.
All right.
There have been many times, and not lately, since there was no longer work in Dallas, but those of you that still work in the big city, I'm sure there are occasions when you get stuck in a traffic jam. Is that right?
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the most deplorable feelings? You done worked all day long, struggled, and amen. Dealing with strife and other employees and supervisors, and then to get stuck in traffic. Well, that's happened to me on a number of occasions, and I've been stuck in traffic. Sometimes it's bumper to bumper, and it's not moving very fast, and those cars that's in the fast lane want to jump off and exit. While the cars in the left lane want to get over in the fast lane. And usually I try to stay in the middle. But sometimes in the middle, the traffic seems to slow to a crawl because everybody is what?
To get in the middle.
Switching. The fast lane want to get off. The slow lane want to get in the fast lane. And here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Oh, that was another song.
All right.
Had week. It slows our progress because of all of the switching of lanes. And scientific studies have shown that when traffic is heavy,
yes, sir,
those who patiently stay in their lane get where they're going quicker.
Amen, Pastor.
I know I'm talking to somebody. I've had people just fly by me, only to catch up with them a few cars ahead, and I'm still going at my same pace. And so when you stay where you belong, you can get there quicker than those who are switching back and forth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's something that has happened to you in your life, and you can testify to that, because if you've been there, you know that it didn't do no good. Sometimes people want to jump off because traffic is slow, so they can detour and then get back on. But I've just discovered that if you just stay where you are, you will get there. Amen. Because slow and steady will win the race. Help me, Lord God. So once, you know, as I thought about the analogy of being stuck in traffic, it gave me some time to slow down the pace of my life and to think. You know, when you're in traffic, you can sometimes use that as a time of meditation, a time to reflect, a time to amen, think about what you need to do and calm down. Amen. Rather than having that red knuckle syndrome. I mean, some of y'all, you know, not bright enough to show red knuckles, but when you're holding on to the steering wheel so tight. Amen. But just breathe. Take a breath. Amen. Stay in your lane. And speaking of which, I digress just for a moment. I want to share this with everybody. I shared it with some of my loved ones on, I guess that was last week. My mind was in a place where it didn't need to be, and it didn't. I'm fortunate it didn't stay there long. Amen. And so that's always my philosophy. But when you got to go to a place where you know you're not supposed to be mentally, go ahead and go, but just don't stay long. Is that all right? Everybody, we were making preparations to go up to Pastor Raines, and so I decided to go to the bank, left my wife and my other folk here, and went up to the bank. And when you go through the drive-thru, there were two drive-thru lanes. There were two cars in at the ATM machine. Then there was one truck kind of holding back. And he was neither in the left lane nor the right lane. But he was straddling the lane. So my mind, it was. Some stuff had happened that disturbed me, so my mind wasn't quite stayed on Jesus yet. I was coming down, but I wasn't there yet. So he was in the truck.
All right.
So I went around, got in the left lane.
All right.
In a Malibu. Malibu money. Cadillac mine. So I went around and soon as I went around, he started eyeballing me. Uh-huh. Britt, you know what I'm talking about. He was eyeballing me. And, you know, my mind wasn't where it needed to be. I didn't know what the dude could do or what he was going to try to do, but I just went on around him. Because don't you supposed to get in one lane or the other?
Should,
right?
Right.
And so he pulled up. I was hot as fish grease. Brother Sam, I let down my window. I didn't know what he had. I didn't know what he was carrying. I didn't know what he was capable of, but I let down my window. I said, is there a problem?
Yeah.
He said, I was just waiting for the next available teller. ATM machine. I said, you ain't in 7-Eleven. Well, they call you up, you know, the next one.
Yeah.
I said, it's two lanes for a reason.
Right.
Choose one of them. Another one. Stay in your lane. And fortunately, by God's grace, I made it back to the church. Because something was about to jump off. I didn't know if y'all was going to have to come get me or visit me in the hospital. But. What'd you say, Sheila? I know you would. So... You ain't still got that bad in you. I thought we had got past that. We need to talk some more. Amen. But slow down sometimes and just reflect. And so I thought about some things, and it turned into a sermonic experience that it's good to stay in your lane. And I found myself comparing heavy traffic to church traffic. And now, I'm not talking about church traffic on Sunday morning. There ain't no such thing as church traffic on Sunday morning. Y'all missed that. There are no traffic jams trying to get into church. Amen. In fact, the best time to travel is on Sunday, when most people turn into couch potatoes or mall walkers. No church traffic, amen. The church traffic I'm talking about is the traffic that happens in the church. And before you decide I'm crazy and tune me out and say, there he go again, let me explain. Please don't be offended by the word. It's intended to help us focus on God's agenda and on our individual areas of giftedness. Amen? There's an awful amount of lane changing in the church. And it can make church traffic hard to navigate. That's why we need God's GPS. Christians who want to change lanes in midstream can cause terrible traffic jams in ministry. If you don't believe me, just ask the Apostle Paul. The early church had a tough time with church traffic. Everybody seemed to want to be in a different position than the one God had chose for them. There was some scrambling. A better still, coveting going on. Everybody wanted to be where he was not. But all Christians make up the body of Christ. But we differ in function. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. If all of us were preachers, where would the congregation or the hearers be? If you will. I know it sounds silly, but let's look at the text. Paul was trying to make these early Christians see the value in the position God chose for them in the body of Christ. And you ought to be satisfied where God puts you.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In fact, in the earlier verses, Paul spends quite a bit of time and energy trying to teach Christians to stop trying to be like other folk and accept that we all have different roles for the same purpose. To grow God's kingdom or to focus on God's agenda and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Different roles, same function. There are no little I's and big U's in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. My left arm needs my right arm just as much as the left.
Yeah.
Or the right needs the left.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But check out the vehicles, amen, in the traffic jam. We're going to have a little fun. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Paul says there are apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, helpers, healers, governments, and tongue talkers.
Mm-hmm.
And without going into too much detail on these various gifts, let me give you a 21st century analogy of all of these and what all of these means regarding spiritual transportation. Is that all right?
All right, all right.
Well, the apostles are the old Model T Ford.
All right.
You know why? You don't see them anymore. Uh-oh. Because they are obsolete. The apostles were the ones who actually saw Jesus and with their naked eye, amen, before he was transfigured and from earth to heaven. It was their job to make the message of salvation, amen, to the early converts. The Model T's were the ones who launched Christianity. So they obsolete, amen. You might see a Model T Ford every now and then. Someone has one as a collector's item. Then there are prophets. Amen. If you want to talk to me more about apostles, we talked about it in Bible study. You can come see me. Amen. The closest thing that we have to the prophet is the preacher. And just like me, the prophet must be a Cadillac. Amen. Even though I don't have one. Because everybody wants to be one. The preacher is God's instrument for transmitting his plan to the people of God. Next, there are teachers. Teachers would be economical cars like the Kia or the Hyundai. Amen. Not because they're cheap. It's because they are affordable and we need lots of them. The more Kias and Hyundais that we have on the spiritual road to Calvary, the more souls the church will save. Then we have the miracle workers.
Yes.
They're the fuel efficient models that never seem to run out of gas. They can do what no other mode of transportation can do. And when the church is stuck in a jam, they call on the miracle workers who can go the extra mile. Next, we have healers. I call them peacemakers. Amen. They're the ones with the smooth ride. They would be like the Mercedes and the Lexus and, yes, even your old Buick.
It's all right, man.
If you take good care of it. The peacemaker helps the church avoid bottlenecks that choke the progress of ministry. Paul even says there's a place for governments or governing. And of course that would be the limousine with the GPS in the dash. It's the limousine. It's the limo's job to keep us on track spiritually and financially. Pastors, deacons, and finance boards are chauffeured by limo.
Yeah.
Then finally there are those who speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Since Paul said their greatest desire is visibility. I see them as the, and I'm not trying to make a song connection. I see them as the little red Corvette.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Paul says that they too are often, they just want to hit the gas. Amen. And few people around them understand why.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever got in a Corvette, you'll understand why you want to just hit the gas.
Yeah.
Amen. I got in one at the dealership, but I couldn't get out of it. Amen. I just had to kind of roll out. Amen. Because it was too low. But I just sitting there, I could just feel the power. And I just knew, man, if I ever got this on the road. Man, I'll be taking defensive driving once a year trying to get rid of the tickets that I accumulated. Amen. But folk don't understand why they want to go so fast. I guess it's tough to keep your foot off the gas pedal in a little red Corvette. So all Christians, brothers and sisters, have a role to play in the church of Jesus Christ, but we can cause a terrible traffic jam if we don't stay in our lanes and perform the duties, amen, according to God's spiritual roadmap. Everybody can't and should not try to do the same thing. Amen. So let's look at, amen, and what we need in order to give our best, amen, to the work of growing God's kingdom, the work of adhering ourselves to God's agenda. First, there are three things. First, we need to let God choose our mode of transportation. Now, I'm going to spend a couple extra minutes on number one, because number two and three are going to go really fast. Is that all right? Amen. Some Christians shop for positions in the church the way they shop for a car. Amen. Amen. Remember, just remember, I ain't talking about nobody. Amen. Especially none of my members. Amen. LOL. Just a little humor there. So don't go tell nobody I'm talking about them. But some think they deserve as much position as their money affords. Help me, Holy Ghost. They want the top of the line spiritual transportation, and they're not satisfied until they get it. Too often it's all about the attention it gets them, and very little about the responsibility that goes along with the job. They park themselves all over the sanctuary for visibility, and they create a terrible traffic jam in ministry. Others are attracted to the special features attached to a position. I call them gadget Christians. They like the things like electronic access to the pastor. They like the fact that they can reach out and instantaneously come to wherever I am. Push button privileges. And that's all right. I like for it to work both ways, though. Hint, hint. They're the ones that most likely to tie up the phone lines and flood the church with emails, with opinions and ideas, few of which ever get off the ground. They're so busy talking, amen, that they pay little attention to the spiritual role that they're on, and very little gets done. Don't you just hate it when you ride along beside somebody and they texting? Texting, reading a paper, map, or whatever they might be doing. Not focused. Get a little done, and they're the one that creates accidents. Still others don't like the responsibility that goes along with a new mode of transportation. So they hold on to the old one forever, and sometimes I'm like that. That's like me sometimes, you know, getting a new cell phone. I was supposed to get one in March, a new phone, a smartphone, and I'm already nervous about it. Ain't even got it yet. Because I just learned how to use mine. Now, Andrew, I got to start all over. Don't know how to use it. And so you know, gadgets like that. And even in the car, you know, I always wish that I could go and just tell them what I want in the car and what I don't want, because some of the stuff that's in there I never use, nor know how to use. Amen. So we like to hold on to our old stuff. Amen. And the old one doesn't require much of them. It fits like an old pair of shoes. They can drive this one without thinking, amen, because they've always done it that way. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, and we have to move into the 21st century, and we've got to embrace the technology that's available to us, but clunkers generally don't keep pace with the rest. And all this does is slow down church traffic. So the problem with choosing our spiritual mode of transportation is that we use the wrong set of criteria for our decision. We use emotions of the flesh to make our choice, when we should be willing to let the Lord make our ministry decisions for us. I need to tell you, brothers and sisters, God doesn't need clunkers. He needs innovative thinkers who spearhead new ideas. God doesn't need gadget Christians. He needs Christians who want to get out of the ideal lane and get into the action lane. God doesn't want top of the line models parked all over the sanctuary like a lazy overseer. He wants us to start our engines and lead the way. But that won't happen unless God chooses whom he uses. Gotta get a witness here. And see, when God makes the choice, we should all come together to help empower that person to fulfill his or her responsibility. In verse 18, 24, and 28, Paul stresses the fact that, amen, it is God, not man, who assigns us our gifts and duties within the church. Because the church at Corinth was suffering from a spiritual traffic jam because the members were coveting self-serving gifts like speaking in tongues and downplaying the gifts of apostleship and prophets and teachers. They wanted the attention. But to put things back in proper perspective by calling those out who just wanted to be seen, he let them know that there is a better way to serve the Lord. How many of you are willing to let God choose the type of car you drive on this spiritual highway? Will you give up the idea of driving a limo if God says it's not for you? How about the little red Corvette? Will you allow God to temper your taste for speed and put you in a Kia or a Hyundai where you can best use the talents to serve him? So we gotta let God choose our mode of transportation. Then secondly, we need an occasional spiritual tune-up. Ain't God all right? Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Too many Christians don't get far in church traffic because they aren't willing to pull over for the necessary filler and tune-up. Help me, Holy Ghost. They believe that, amen, once they were saved, that was the end of their journey. These are the kind of folk that ignore the low fuel warning sign that pops up on the icon on the dashboard and just drive until they run out of gas. Amen, lights and walls. The road to heaven is littered with these kind of people. You've seen them. Amen. It don't mean no harm. They drop out of the choir. They stop serving on the earth of old. They have no time for Sunday school. They skip Bible study. And eventually, they show up, amen, once a month before it becomes not at all. Just as the body needs food, the soul needs fresh nourishment to keep itself moving forward. Ain't God all right? We can't possibly do our best for the Lord if we are content to function on spiritual leftovers. Sooner or later, those leftovers will get devoured. And we have to shop for reinforcements. Let God choose your mode of transportation. Get a tune up every day and then. Help me, Holy Ghost. And the third thing is, we need to stay in our lane. The most effective ministries of those that stick to God's, amen, what God gives them. It's futile to try to be everywhere. That's God's job. He's the one that's out in the present. You have an assignment, and the best way to get the job done is to stay in your lane. Stay focused on you. Come here to witness it. If God chooses you to drive a car that you in, you know that you're in the right car. Well, preacher, how
means of transportation. You'll find that God instills in you, amen, a fresh anointing, a refueling that will keep your ministry vibrant and alive. You'll discover that you are God's co-pilot, and you'll learn to let Him steer your ministry in the direction that He wants it to go. And you will confess that you don't know everything about every spiritual being. Help me, Holy Ghost. But you are convinced that God will never fail you as long as you keep gassing up and refueling up at God's filling station. That is the church. And I know you can get it sometime somewhere, but ain't nothing like being in the house of the Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. I know it's Bedside Baptist, Mattress Methodist, Couch Church of God in Christ, but every now and then you ought to long to be in the fellowship with other brothers and sisters. Come in the witness here. Stay in your lane and let the Lord teach you how to get the most out of your ministry. Put the pedal to the metal, but stay in your lane and keep your mind on the Messiah. I heard somebody say, we ought to spend 6 months minding our own business and 6 months leaving other folk alone. Come get a witness here. He will take you out of the church garage and put you in the busy streets of ministry. He will take you out of the parking lot of do nothingness onto the highway of new ideas. He'll move you from emails to knee-mails. Can I get a witness here? Your Messiah will enlarge your understanding. Christ will advance your spiritual direction. He will develop your potential. He will mature your character, enhance your influence, and broaden the highway of your ministry. Remember, your vehicle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. He chose you to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. He chose you to reveal the precious promises that give hope and joy. He chose you to share the spiritual bread that give life and strength to the soul. He chose you to deliver the good news of God's love, mercy, and grace. He chose you to declare the unsearchable riches we have in Jesus Christ. There are rich rewards ahead if we stay in our lane. If you stay in your lane, Christ will show you how to strengthen another man's faith. If you stay in your lane, Christ will show you how to help supply another person's need. If you stay in your lane, Christ will show you how to establish your ministry. If you stay in your lane, Christ will show you how to build on your confidence. If you stay in your lane, Christ will show you how to find new opportunities. Don't take the off ramp. Don't pull over and park. You got to understand, we didn't come here to stay, but we on our way somewhere. Help me, Holy Ghost. Keep pace with your Savior and let Him lead you on this highway to heaven. Help me, Holy Ghost. I didn't come here, but I'm on my way. Life is not a parking lot, but it's a thoroughfare. I got to keep on moving. Keep moving in the right way. I heard somebody say that heaven is my goal. Heaven is my goal. Each and every day, I've got to keep on moving. Moving in the right way. And if I stumble, step aside. Don't you block my way. I don't want nobody stumbling over me. Turn to the witness here. Heaven is my goal. And I'm going to ride. I'm gonna ride, and whatever God puts me in, but follow God's directions. He'll break up. He'll break up the bottlenecks. Is that right? Focus on helping one another. Focus on empowering one another. Focus on sharing with one another. Focus on saying, oh, you do that, I'll do it next time. Focus on stepping aside and saying, yeah, let you serve today. Because God wants everybody in the church to be involved in ministry. It's His agenda. No. It's His vision. Glad that God chose to use me. And I'm trying to be used in any way that God desires. Is that alright? Is that alright? Anything from parking cars, picking up trash, to preaching the gospel. Lord, whatever you want me to do, just tell me. Lord, wherever you want me to go, just tell me. Because I'm here to serve the Master. Oh, you don't hear me again. I'll go wherever He wants me to go. I'll do whatever He wants me to do. And voice echoing down through the recesses of time and breaking through boundaries and generations. And I heard Him say, whom shall we send and who will go for us? And I've got to stand like Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Is it anybody else here that's willing to go for the Lord? Anybody else here willing to serve? Anybody here willing to do without being recognized? Anybody here ready to get dirty and do the work of God? That's what God wants from us. His agenda. Do you not know that when Jesus came, it wasn't about Him, but He said, I came to do my Father's will. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. His vision was what God said. He didn't enroll in no school, but He came to do the will of God. Perform miracles, raise the dead, fed hungry folk, water to the thirsty, eyesight to the blind. But those were nothing more than byproducts of Him coming. He came for one reason. That was the time. They tried to prematurely make Him king, but He said, my hour has not yet come. I'm on my Father's schedule. He healed folk and they pinned Him against a cliff about to push Him off, but His daddy showed up. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. And the Bible says He walked in the midst of them, and they saw Him not. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He came to do the Father's will. And when the time came for Him to give up His life, He said, my hour has come. Can't nobody take my life, but I'll lay it down. Judgment hall to judgment hall. Beaten and spit on, ridiculed, cursed out, called everything but the child of God. Wept beyond recognition, couldn't nobody identify Him. He was beaten so bad, but He came to do His Father's will. Early Friday morning, despite of being exhausted and bloodied, amen, beyond recognition, He took on His shoulder, an old rugged cross, and somebody said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Somebody said, no, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. But He took that cross because it was His Father's will. It was His Father's agenda. All up to Golgotha. Somebody said He fell three times. The Bible don't say that, but they said He fell three times. The third time they got a black man and compelled Him to carry the cross of Jesus up to Calvary. Calvary's rugged brow. Jesus suffering, bleeding, exhausted, flesh torn from his body, on his way to die for your sins and my sin, not because he said he wanted to, but because God said it was God's agenda. It was God's agenda, God's will for him. When he laid down voluntarily, they nailed him to a cross. They didn't have to wrestle him to the cross, but he laid down. He gave up his life because his daddy told him to. Because he knew him in the year 2014, it would be somebody here that needed to know that God loved him. They stretched him wide and raised him high. Not because it was his agenda, but because God sent him to do it. 6 hours he hung on the cross. Working out your redemption and my redemption. So he locked his hand in the locks of his shoulder. Gave up the ghost. He cried out to his daddy, "It's finished. What you sent me to do, I've done that." How many of us are standing before God and say, "God, whatever you sent me to do, I did that. That I left nothing undone." His agenda. His will. His direction. His vehicles of transportation. His gifts. He chooses what to give you. And it's your responsibility to use it to his glory. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. God bless each of you here today. The door of the church is open for you. This is your opportunity to say yes to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
don't break
up. If the going gets tough, I'm true to my word, Lord. My story is empty, and I am a baby.